Hello and welcome to The Two Dyspraxics. I'm Barbara Neal.
And I'm Matthew Munson.
Yeah, so this is our very first podcast. As you may or may not know, Matthew and I have made quite a number of videos and all on the subject of dyspraxia because we both have dyspraxia. And we first met, oh, crumbs, how many years ago was it, Matthew? Can you remember?
Do you know, I was actually racking my brains earlier to try and think about this. It must be at least, is it a decade now? It must be at least that.
Yeah, I think it must be. So we could work it out, I'm sure. But
because the first time, because we met online first, which sounds awfully dubious, I know, all above board. But then the first time we actually physically met was for 5 minutes in London, wasn't it?
That's right, Victoria Station. I remember it well because we belong to a support group for people who have dyspraxia and a very small sort of fledgling support group, I would say. And we decided that we'd meet up in London, which was fairly central to most. I think Matthew coming from Broadstairs and I was coming from Maidstone. So we decided that we'd meet at Victoria Station together because at that time you weren't that au fait with travelling on the tubes or anything, were you?
No, I think because I remember being quite anxious about it because I'd not really kind of done much. It sounds silly to say I'd not done much travelling by myself. It was literally just from Kent to London. But to me, that was a big deal because I'd not really done that too much. So that's why, because I knew you had, because obviously your background working in London. So you kind of very kindly offered, you know, this person who you didn't know that well at the time, you sort of said, well, look, Matthew, don't mind, meet me at Victoria and I'll take you to where it is that we're meant to be meeting. I was like, oh, you know, great. I've got a friend. Someone can help me.
Yeah. However, things didn't quite go according to plan. I mean, Matthew's quite right, obviously, because I used to work in London. I used to commute up there every day when I was a lot younger than I am now. And so I was well and truly used to using the tubes, which I think actually are incredibly intuitive. Mm. Because you just need to know what colour line you want, you know, generally speaking. Then you just need to know whether you want north or south or east or west. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. You know, it's not much more complicated than that. But anyway, we had a slight mishap because my train broke down and it was just a few miles from Maidstone. Yeah. So I was sitting on the train for 4 hours, not going anywhere.
My God, was it 4 hours you were on that train?
I remember it very well. But so I got to London just in time to meet Matthew, who was about to go and catch his train home.
As I remember because I pre-booked a seat on a train home, thinking, you know, obviously there's no reason to think any different, that it would be a sort of a morning of it. You know, it's quite a big adventure for me at the time. And I thought, well, actually, you know, probably 4 hours might be about enough. And my meet Barbara will go over there. I'm probably able to work my way back with a few instructions from Barbara if Barbara wanted to stay. And
yeah,
and you didn't do too well on that one, did you?
No, it didn't work out quite the way we planned. But the next time we met after that was down at your place, actually, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think it must have been.
No, it was. No, actually, Bob, it was. You're right, because I'd moved into the centre of Broadstairs from the outskirts, and yeah, that's right. I did. We were chatting, and I sort of said, "Well, come down then." Cause I think it was easier. Well, I say easier at the time because I still didn't know my way around that well. And you again said, "Yeah, it's fine. I'll come down." And you did you just stay for the day or did you stay over? I can't remember.
Oh, no, actually, no. That wasn't the next time we met because the next time we met was your book launch, your first book launch.
Oh, my goodness.
And I came down and I stayed in a hotel down there. It was very cold and it was very cold.
Well, I'm by the sea. Everything's cold down this way.
Oh, it was horrible, actually. The place I stayed in, so, oh, dear, this isn't exactly the lap of luxury. But right. It was for Matthew's first, the launch of his first novel. And, right. Yeah, so that was a joy to behold. And then after that, you said, Well, you know, if you come down again, come and stay at my place. You know, you don't have to stay in a grotty
I
place.
remember feeling really awful that you, bless you, you travelled. It was over. I mean, from yours to mine, mind you, was about an hour, just over an hour on a good run. And I felt really awful. You then kind of got this grotty hotel. I thought, oh, we should come all the way to see me. First time she came down to my neck of the woods to see me, and she's saying this horrible. I thought, I can't have this. I could, and bless her, I was like, no, you're not staying there again, Barbara. No.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so, but I have to say that it does give me some pleasure to know that you felt really
Yeah.
awful. As it should be.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the guilt soon passed, but you know, there was a good 10 minutes when I felt awful. Then I kind of got distracted by chocolate or something, so you know.
Right, but and then the next time after that was when I came down to yours because we got on like a house on fire. You know, we found that we're just really good buddies,
Yeah,
weren't we? And
absolutely.
why did I use past tense?
Yeah, we were once. Now we don't talk at all.
The time after that when I came down, and it was when Matthew had started making a vlog, a video blog. I hadn't dabbled in such things, so he asked me if I'd like to join in, you know, and talk about dyspraxia and our own experiences of it. And what sort of ratio would you say was stuff that we made that we could actually use?
Oh, I mean, oh, about a tenth, probably.
The rest.
I mean, I remember we got some, because I think we were realizing at that point that dyspraxia, and I'm sure I'll come on to this, was very, is a very wide spectrum. And actually, we were sort of going, oh, you know, I do that, or oh, I don't do that. Oh, that's different. That's a bit weird. But in between that, those moments, we were just laughing hysterically. We got the same sense of humour. Sometimes a little bit rude, it has to be said, but other times just laughing, and I think it for me anyway, it became almost as fun just looking forward to the laughter as it did actually recording the videos in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a fantastic time, didn't we, making that first video? And then I remember at the end of it when I think you said, sorry, it's goodbye from me. And I said, and it's goodbye from him. And then you added, the two Ronnies we ate. So I said, but the two dyspraxics we are. And then from then on, we've got to do more of these. This is good fun. And yeah, and hopefully informative as well. But we certainly enjoyed making the videos. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So I suppose you could say the rest is history, but I think things have changed a lot. We haven't made videos for quite some time now, have we? Because
No.
we're completely different circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of everything changed, you know, kind of lockdown. I mean, we're recording this in March 2021, and lockdown happened almost a year ago to the day. But even before that, I mean, obviously you're a parent. You've been a parent 3 times. I became a parent for hopefully the only time, because I can't imagine doing it. I love my son, but I can't imagine doing it again. And that sort of took a lot of my focus, I think. And so it was one of those things that I couldn't just jump on a train and come up to you and visit in the same way that I did before, because I was always clock watching. And I think just kind of just life got in the way. We got a very thriving Facebook group, and I think kind of that sort of became the focus of communication, I think, by default, you know, without either of us realizing it. But actually, I think from my point of view, both of us, well, I felt like we'd both got a lot more we wanted to communicate and talk about. And actually, how could we do that, you know, whilst our situation is, you know, we could do these, you know, God forbid we have any more than 3 lockdowns, you know, it doesn't matter if there's a fourth lockdown for these podcasts. We can do it whenever and wherever we want. And that's not to say we won't meet up again to do videos or other activities. It just means right now we can do this without having to worry about any other commitments, you know.
And, I think also because with the videos, the focus was very much dyspraxia, you know, because talking about our own experiences of dyspraxia and, you know, sort of various aspects of it. But I think for the podcast, we've made a decision that it's going to be more about us. And obviously, dyspraxia will rear its ugly head because it's part of who we both are. But But we're going to be talking about all sorts of things, you know, anything and everything, I think was the way we phrased
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and yeah, all credit to you for coming up with the idea as well, because, you know, something I've always wanted to do is a podcast, but I've never known anything about it, you know, and you know, I all credit to you, you came up with the idea and sort of said, you know, why don't we try this? Here's how we can do it. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and I'm obsessed with podcasts. You know, I listen to them all the time. And I was like, oh, yes, that's great. Yes, let's do it. Come on, let's like and go.
I think you might be misjudging me a little bit, though, because I wouldn't pretend to be an expert by any stretch. I just did a little bit of research, and I think it's going to be a bit of sort of make it up as we go along, frankly. And learn as we go along as well. So we're by no means seasoned broadcasters or anything like that. But I think if we just sort of come up with things that we want to talk about, or maybe I suspect we'll probably have a Patreon page at some point. So our patrons, if they'd like to make suggestions of things they'd like us to talk about, if they have questions to ask us, then we'll certainly be open to doing that.
Yeah. And I think even kind of, you know, hopefully we'll get a good audience from this, and even kind of, as it were, readers who don't want to kind of go down that route, if we're sharing this in Facebook groups or whatever, people who think, oh, I'd be interested in knowing about this or that, or doing a feature on something particular. I think that's, you know, I'd be very open to looking at a particular topic if someone raises it as a good, valid way of discussing something. I think I'll be very up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, we are in agreement.
Yeah. Makes a change. No.
No, we do agree on an awful lot, which is really
yeah. We kind of does help when we mind you. I mean, there's maybe I don't know whether we should advertise other podcasts or not. There's a podcast that I listen to all the time called I can't remember if it's called For the Many or By the Many. It's For the Many, I think. And it's got Jackie Smith. Do you remember the ex-Labour MP? She was Home Secretary for a couple of years back in about 10, 12 years ago or something. And Ian Dale, who's a sort of an ex, he doesn't belong to the Conservative Party anymore, but he did once. And he's sort of a right of centre broadcaster. He once stood for Parliament on a Conservative ticket, that kind of thing. And they do a podcast together twice a week. And I mean, they laugh a lot, like you and I laugh a lot. And they discuss current affairs, you know, particularly. Right. And it's very, it's obviously Jackie Smith is sort of left of centre, I guess. She's not far left, but she's left of centre in the Labour Party. Indale's right of centre from the Conservatives. And actually, they do have these, well, I was about to say ding-dongs, but that's not the right word, but they do disagree, and you hear them going, no, you know, like Ian Dale was anti-Europe, Jackie Smith pro-Europe, you know.
Yeah, I bet interesting.
They agree on a lot of social issues. They don't agree much on economic issues, as you might imagine. They disagree on... They disagree dramatically on Europe, you know, things like that. And actually, it makes for a better podcast because they share a sense of humour, which is a little bit smutty at times. And, you know, I wouldn't dream of doing anything like that, Barbara, as you all know.
I was just thinking about when we first talked about doing a podcast and we were communicating online, you know, via text messaging. And I can remember that we came up with a string of words that we must not say, which was good fun.
Yeah, and I think we're being very good so far.
We've been amazing, you know. Thankfully, I don't think anybody's going to hear the bit when we started out, and we didn't think it was working.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The air turned a tad blue then for a moment.
For a moment, yes.
It's all right now.
Calmed. We've calmed.
We have, yeah. We're incredibly calm now. Incredibly calm. So basically, I mean, is there anything else? Yes, actually, there is something else that we've been up to. In addition to the Facebook group, which I must say is incredibly supportive and very friendly. Is it about 5,000 members now?
It must be. I think it must be a bit over that actually by now.
It probably is, actually. Yeah, just shows you how involved we. No. But it's really nice because we don't have to do too much. Don't really like to use the word, but policing of it, because I think generally speaking, everyone is very helpful.
Well, I've just looked actually, 4,788 members at present.
Right, so that's pretty phenomenal. Good going. It's wide because it's Facebook, but it's adults with dyspraxia, which is really who we set out to address in the first place, I think, because we didn't feel that there was very much provision made for adults who have dyspraxia. And then we had some parents who wanted to join, parents of dyspraxic children. So we said, okay, we'll just throw it open, basically, to who has an interest in dyspraxia. And for my sins, I'm dyspraxic myself, obviously, but I have an adult dyspraxic son. So I've seen all this from the point of view of a parent of a dyspraxic child as well. So when he was at school, yeah, he was school age, that was a long time ago now. So, you know, but it's quite interesting, I think, you know, to see dyspraxia from different angles.
I agree. I think, and actually something you say there, being a dyspraxic parent, I mean, I'm a parent to how old is he now? He's 10. And I'm a dyspraxic parent to a non-dyspraxic child, and you've experienced both. You've experienced, you know, parenting both dyspraxic child and two non-dyspraxic children, and so I'm different in that I'm only parenting one child, so it's a very smaller thing. But of course, I'm doing it with a dyspraxic brain, and it certainly changed my perspective on life a lot. Dealing with a child who is an agent of chaos at the best of times. And that's all children, not just my son. It's all children are, you know, agents of chaos. That's just part of their natural charm. And trying to deal with the unpredictable when you're dyspraxic and you're trying to plan and be organised so that you can control your own issues is very, very hard.
Yeah, definitely. I go along with that. Though nowadays, you know, I mean, my lads are all, Rob is 32 and Jim will be 31 the day after tomorrow. Wow. And Rich 22. So they're all grown up now. They haven't all flown the nest. That's another story. But so how did you find out about your dyspraxia?
For me, I was 15, so this was 1996, maybe 95, 96, something like that. And so I was at a secondary school. And my parents had come in for a parents' evening, and the deputy head had met my parents at the door and said, "Oh, isn't Matthew doing well? Given that he's dyspraxic, isn't it amazing how much he's achieving?" And my parents sort of looked at him and looked at each other and looked at, and I was there, and said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you know, he's dyspraxic."
Wow.
And so obviously during my school days, at some point the teachers had diagnosed me as being dyspraxic, but kind of forgotten to tell me about it. No, you know, I mean, I'm laughing about it, but at the time I was really shocked. I didn't know there was anything. Well, I was about to say, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm dyspraxic, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But I didn't know there was anything different about me that had a name.
Yeah.
I just thought this was all very confusing and weird, and that everyone felt like this. And suddenly I was like, "Oh, hang on. There's this label. There's this name for what I am." And it was liberating, you know. I wasn't diagnosed for a long time after that, but that's a different story.
That's a story we could probably
do. I think so, actually. So what about you, though? What was your sort of story to become aware of it?
Well, mine was because I had a friend who had a dyspraxic son, and she said to me, "Do you think Robert might be dyspraxic?" And this was when Rob was in infant school at the time, you know, so very young. And So I said, what is this dyspraxic? You know, what's that? She told me about dyspraxia, lent me a book by the amazing Amanda Kirby. So I had a read up on that, and I thought, yes, I think I ought to try and get him assessed. So it was an uphill struggle with the school at the time. And so every time he went into a new class in September, we got this. If only he would try harder in PE. So I'd have to go in and say, look, you know, we're pretty sure that he's dyspraxic. But I finally managed to get him assessed. But that was after the primary school. There was one teacher actually in primary school who she was incredibly supportive, and I can remember her response. Yeah, she said, it makes me want to spit, because when we're at teacher training college, they insist that you must get these things picked up as early as possible, and then when you try to do it, it's really hard to do an assessment. So, but she gave me a questionnaire to complete at home, because she completed one at school on Rob. And so I was going through the questionnaire, and I thought, shall I do that? And I do that. Hang on a second, I do that too. And by the end of the questionnaire, I thought, well, I'm blows. I am dyspraxic as well. And so, and that again, that took me a long time to get a formal diagnosis. But that again is, you know, it's a whole, it's a whole
exercise. I think it's because it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a double-edged sword in a way, really, because you've kind of got the awareness of your dyspraxia, but then actually getting it formally diagnosed so you can do something about it, of course, is a very different matter as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I must point out at this stage that I was laughing inwardly at the experience. So, no, I was laughing inwardly. And the reason for that, I think, you know, I really should explain, is that when we were making our videos, the first batch of videos we did, when there was more laughter than, you know, actually usable material, for some reason, the expression double-edged sword just set us off every
it
single
did.
Time.
I hadn't intended to say it then. This is what we were talking. I just decided on spur of the moment to throw it in there. Essentially, I was trying to throw you off the scent, really. And I failed. I failed.
I thought my control was amazing.
I was very impressed. I was very impressed.
Yeah, so you should be. So anyway, that's pretty much who we are, isn't it? I mean, that's who we are in relation to our dyspraxic journey, our you know, individually and jointly. So that's just to give you an indication as to who we are, what we plan to do, although I think much of it will come as a surprise to us as well as everybody else. So I think until the next time, that's on
that happy note.
It's
a goodbye. It's goodbye from her.
And it's goodbye from him.
You're quite right.
Okay, so till next time then, please tune in again, and hopefully we'll be talking sense at some point, you never know. All right,
bye
take
now.
Care then, folks. Till next time. Bye.